The programming on 88.1 FM is made possible in part by WWER Watts members, who show their support of community radio by donating online at wwer.org/membership. If you like our programming, please consider contributing to wwer.org/membership.
Hi, good morning. This is Linda Wright, and I'm on the front porch of Dr. Kitra Williams's lovely little place, surrounded by images of why many of us have come to Colonial Beach for the beauty of nature and the water and the birds. And as I look around, there's two signs that I really, really like. One is Faith, Family, and Freedom, and I believe that that's going to come up in our conversation today. Yes. And the other is The Best Is Yet to Come, and I know that's your intention, that's your whole spirit, the best is yet to come. So let's go ahead. Kitra, tell me, what do you want the people, our neighbors in Colonial Beach, to know about you?
Well, I want them to know that I am here to serve. I am here. I came here about 10 years ago, and this is my home. And there are a lot of people that I've met, wonderful people, especially my neighbors. And then there are a lot that I do not know. And so I'd like to get to know my neighbors, and I'd like for them to get to know a little bit more about Kitra and what I do here in Colonial.
Well, tell us what you do do. What?
Well, I serve the youth. I enjoy nurturing our babies. And so I cultivate their gifts and talents as it relates to theater. And I allow them to share their real life testimonies through the art of theater. We do that through an award ceremony that I host annually called the Agape Awards. And as you know, agape is a Greek word that means unconditional love, godly love.
Yes.
And so it's the highest love that we can give to one another and the highest love that God gives to us. So for that reason, I started the Agape Gospel Academy. And although it says gospel, it's not just gospel. I studied opera for 4 years. And so I train, I teach the youth gospel music. I teach them opera. I teach them jazz, country. I just love music. So that's what I do here. I teach our babies to cultivate their gifts and allow them to share their real life testimonies through the art of theater.
And what's wonderful about that is that, you know, many of us, and certainly as youth, we are ingrained in one particular genre of music.
Yes.
Like me, I was a rocker. You know,
okay.
I love rock and roll. And classical music was not my thing.
Yeah.
However, when people like you expose young people and others to a different, a richness of the music that you love, you start to open up their heart and their ears to something different. So how wonderful. Opera. I come from an Italian background, so opera
love. Oh, yeah.
So speaking of that, tell me a little bit about, or tell us a little bit about your musical history, your theatrical history.
Okay. Todd Bridges, I worked with, he and his mother for several years. He was one of the lead stars in Facts of Life. Different Strokes, I'm sorry. And it was just amazing learning from he and his mother about how to actively, you know, cultivate that gift. And not only cultivate it for myself so that I can eventually end up working, which I later did, end up doing Broadway and all that other good stuff, but to teach others to do the same thing. So that's what our Agape Academy is about. And that's where I started. I started, learning little bits and pieces from the connoisseurs of it, if you will, in the industry. And they kind of put me up under their wings and taught me, the do's and don'ts and the the craft of theater.
Well, the craft of theater, I know when I first met you, I came home, I was so intrigued by who you were. I went and Googled you, right?
Oh, boy.
And I found
girlfriend did her homework.
I sure did. I found some exciting, I mean, my mouth just dropped, right? So why don't you tell our audience what you most proud about your accomplishments and which gave you that excitement for theater and music?
Okay. Well, I started off as a singer in the choir. My father was a pastor, my stepfather who passed away first before my natural father. He owned a congregation of over 2,000. So, of course, yeah, ooh. I started in the church. And my mother was the first lady, and she nurtured us all up. And every Sunday morning, we'd better hit the road, get ready for church, and be right there in the choir. And then I worked my way out of the choir because a child does not like to be forced to do something. You know? So, although that was my gifting, and I didn't realize it at the time, but I wiggled my way out of that, and I got on the usher board and went on to do other things. But my mother encouraged me to go to college to cultivate the gifting that she knew I loved, which was singing. And so I ended up going to Talladega College first in Alabama. It's mm-hmm. in Talladega, Alabama. Mm-hmm. And I flunked out my first year. I was just like fancy free, like, yay, I'm away from home.
I'm free, you know? I'm
yeah. and I just was having too much fun doing music and having fun and not cultivating the actual craft and learning about the business of music mm-hmm. the way I should have been. And so I never will forget my father, awesome man, Booker T. Williams. He said to me, because at the time he was a politician, and he used to be very, he was a stark advocate of getting underprivileged youth or children or people into Ivy League schools or mm-hmm. college. And so he said to me, honey, you flunked out. And guess what? You only have one more chance to make it in life. And I was devastated when I heard that. I said, what? He says, you have one more chance to make it in life. So I'm going to give you an opportunity. I'm going to help you get into another college. You failed at that one, but you're not going to fail at this one. Oh. And he says, I'm going to get you into Cheney University. It was called Cheney College at the time. It eventually turned into a university. And he says, and you are going to be successful, young lady. And I said, yes, yes, I am, Daddy, I am. Oh. He spoke that into my life.
Yeah.
And I proceeded to move forward in doing that. And so I became homecoming queen, and I started being more academic and cultivating the gift and talent. And I graduated 81 and with honors, and I was just so excited, and Dad was so proud of me. And I went on to begin my acting career and singing in different choirs, all state, all county choirs, and learning Bach. You know, mm-hmm. Yezu Joy, and yes. all the beautiful songs.
Yes.
As I began to do that, I thought, huh, I want to teach others to do this. And then I began to reach out to those young, aspiring youth that desire to do the same thing. And there it came from that was the Agape Academy, my own school, where I developed the gifts and talents of the youth and cultivated their craft and taught them not only how to sing correctly using diaphragmatic breathing, mm-hmm. holding mm-hmm. their heads up,
right.
chest back up.
Yeah. As I sit straight
yeah,
in my
sit,
chair.
Oh, not sit. Okay. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Right. And so it just became an art for me to teach the art.
Mm-hmm.
And so I mm-hmm. Became the musical director of the Boys and Girls Clubs and all five branches of Long Beach, California. And I went on to, from there, to travel on my own, to cultivate my own career. And that's when I hit the jackpot, and I met this guy by the name of Michael Matthews, and he gave me my first opportunity in being pretty much a man-made star, you know, in theater. And he said to me, I'll never forget, I was auditioning for him, and he says, okay, you're going to be my leading lady. And I said, what's a leading lady? He says, you're going to be the star of my play. And I says, doing what? He says, acting. I said, but I auditioned by singing. He said, girl, anybody who can sing that good can act. You're going to be my leading lady.
Oh, my God.
And from that point on, I was his leading lady for the next 5 years. I landed my mark, my name, my brand as an actress / singer doing local plays. They called it the Chitlin Circuit at the time. Mm-hmm. And so it was...
And this is in California?
No, this was actually all over the world.
Okay.
Mike Matthews is from Detroit.
Okay.
And so we toured, we say the Chitlin Circuit, the southern states, and South Carolina, North Carolina, you know, the Carolinas, and Alabama, Georgia. That was my first start of touring the world doing acting. And I thought, wow, I'm really liking this, and I'm getting paid for it too. Wow, you know. Oh, and so then I went on, and I always wanted to do Broadway. Mm. And I said, one day I'm going to do Broadway. And I never will forget, I went to go audition for Dreamgirls.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, and I caught about 5 buses getting there, Linda. I didn't have a car at the time, and I was very young, and I said, I got to get to this audition. I'm destined for Broadway. And so I never will forget, I got on my buses, I got there, and I was the last person to audition. So I thought. So I go in there, and I do my little audition, and they're screaming, yes, yes, we found our girl. This is it. And I'm saying, wow, I blasted them. I sang Jennifer Holliday's, and I am telling you know, I'm not going nowhere. And they said, yes, this is it. And so I said, all right, thank you. He said, you'll be hearing from us, young lady. I said, great. So I walk out of there. And when I walk out, this other young lady, who was a lot more heavier than me, she was mm-hmm. more the Jennifer Holliday type.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in acting, you have to not only have the sound, but you have to have the type, the look. So she right. went in there with the type. I didn't know that she was going to blow me out the box.
Mm-hmm.
She sang the exact same song, Linda, and blew me away. And I heard them screaming, yes, we got our girl. We got. I said, wait a minute. I thought I was their girl, you know. So oh. I was like, oh, no. So I remember walking away, Linda, with my head held down. And out of nowhere, God inspired me with this song, and tears began to roll down my eyes. I began to sing, I never wanted to be an actress. I liked being me. But singers say you've got to act. An actor's got to see. And so I took a chance and said, I'll give it all I've got. But trying out this actress part, I hit the jackpot. Now I'm ready for Broadway, Broadway, here I come. There's no stopping me now. Now I'm ready for Broadway, Broadway, here I come. I'm going to be a star.
Oh my gosh.
And I said, I don't care what happens. If she gets it and I don't get it, I'm destined for Broadway. And then many years later, I'd say about 10 years later, I ended up doing The Color Purple on Broadway with Fantasia.
Oh my gosh. There you go. Isn't that exciting? Yeah. Oh my yeah. gosh. I got chills.
Hold on to hope.
Yeah.
Because yeah. when God promises something, it doesn't yeah. always come when we expect it, but it eventually does come because His promises are true.
And when it's in your heart and you've got, and your heart is connected to that dream,
and you have the passion,
no matter
for
what. And that's what you give to the youth.
That's it.
That's it.
That's
and I
it.
Think
yes.
that is the most spectacular message
yes.
from your story. Thank you. Oh my gosh, it's so great. So I think that what we want to know now is that gift that you have to inspire the youth. How can you see it improve our community? You're a woman of color, and when we first met, we talked about this. How do we bring our communities together? Mm-hmm. And you told me something that I thought was it was right up my alley. You said food.
Yes.
We feed them.
Yes.
We get people together to eat.
That's right.
And from
That's
my
right.
background.
Yes.
Lots of stuff happens around the yes, table,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
So I can see, this is, I think, why I was so inspired by meeting you, is that I felt like you have a way of inspiring people who have these dreams inside of them to want to make the world a better place, want to make our community a better place. Uh-huh. And when we make our community a better place, we'll make the world a better place.
That's right.
And your gift is to start with the youth,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So have you begun the process here in Colonial Beach?
I have.
Okay.
I reached out to Colonial Beach High School. I reached out to the superintendent.
Mm-hmm.
I've had conversation with different individual pastors here. And I began working with some of the youth. I actually did a play at one of the churches here. The play was called Help Me Tell My Story. Mm-hmm. And the story was about the real life struggles that each one of us went through. Mm-hmm. And so each one of us told our story, and it was phenomenal. And it was a major turnout. And I'm telling you, I really did enjoy doing that particular play. The other thing I would be remiss if I didn't mention, Linda, is that one of the most phenomenal things that have happened to me since I've been living here in Colonial Beach, and I'm swelling up just thinking about it, mm-hmm. is that I met this little lady, this little Jewish lady, Caucasian, if you will, not that it ever made a difference, but as you mentioned that I'm a woman of color, and how do I reach out in a way that's non-discriminating to just share in a way and care in a way that's real and genuine and mm-hmm. and nurturing. And I met Mama Marty at my church. I was going to Colonial Beach Baptist Church. Pastor Randall Snipes is the pastor. And that church just embraced me like family. Mm. It's predominantly Caucasian. You have a few other nationalities in there, which I just loved. It's an international church, pretty mm-hmm. much. But I met Mama Marty at a luncheon at the food table, at the table. And Mama, she clung to me like, oh gosh, like glue on a shoe.
Mm.
And it was like we felt each other from the soul. She became my mama's sister girlfriend. She was this 70-something-year-old lady at the time. And she just began to share with me from her heart about how she missed her husband who had passed on. He was a general in the Army, and she just wanted to talk about him. And mm-hmm. I was her ears to listen. And we sat and we ate and we talked and we listened and we laughed and she cried. And that was a moment that changed the both of our lives forever. We were inseparable. When you saw Mama in this town, you saw me. When you saw me, you saw Mama. Aww. And Mama was the only one that could come knock on my door and unannounced, if you will, and say, "You ready? You want to go eat? Let's go get something to eat." I said, "Mama, you can't just come over without calling." She says, "Come on, let's go get something to eat." Sometimes Mama would pay, sometimes I would pay. And we just loved on each other. We'd drive down the street talking about the trees. She was an artist, mm-hmm. phenomenal artist. She had Parkinson's, but when she got ready to paint, she was flawless.
Mm.
So she taught me how to do trees, how to paint trees, because I later found out I had a fetish with trees. But we would get in the car and just drive on a sunny day like today and say, look at that tree. And it has such a different character from the other tree. You see how it's bent over and it's leaning to the side and the other one seems more strong and it's standing tall. And I said, you know, Mom, that's so representative of, so reflective of each one of our lives. Some of us have been through life just toiling and barely making it, dragging along. And some of us are vibrant and we're excited and we look nourished and, you know, we're ready for the next big, yeah. best thing. And I said, she says, yeah. And she says, you know, some are actually intertwined with one another, like they're clinging and holding on to one another. like they're supporting one another and depending on one another. I said, yes. And then some are like far away. And you know, and so we would look at the smallest things, a petal on a flower, the clouds. Look at that one. She says, now tomorrow, guess what? Those clouds are going to be different in that same spot. Yeah. So Mama taught me how to love, you know, just in a genuine way. And we would do that a lot at the table. And so, yes, I believe that coming together here in Colonial Beach at the table to share with food, and because it's such a thing that pulls us all together. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. to just communicate with one another, embrace each other's differences, diversities, and just share in a more intimate way, not be afraid to reach out. And just keep it real with one another. Because listen, at the bottom line end of the day, we're all humans.
Yeah, absolutely. And
we eat the same way. We sleep. We all need rest. We all desire to be happy. We all have special needs. What we need to do is take time out to find out what those needs are. Mm-hmm. So I'm here at Colonial Beach to find out what the needs of our babies are so that I can help nurture those needs. And I do that, like I said, with my Agape Award ceremony, to give them an opportunity to dress up, to walk the red carpet, to know that, hey, listen, you too, you don't have to wait until you become an adult to actually, you know, stretch your stuff on a red carpet. That's what I do with the Agape Awards.
Well, I'm telling you, I can't believe our time is up. I want to keep going and going and going. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Kitra.
Thank you.
It is such a blessing to meet you, and I know we'll be hearing more from you in the future.
Thank you.
Love you, hon.
Thank you, baby. Thank you for the opportunity.
The programming on 88.1 FM is made possible in part by WWER Watts members, who show their support of community radio by donating online at wwer.org/membership. If you like our programming, please consider contributing to wwer.org/membership.